Over half of the people lost to coronavirus here were older people living in nursing homes. Details were published yesterday of the 166 homes where most of those 900 people lived. Marymount Care Centre in Lucan, County Dublin, was identified in the Irish Times yesterday as having lost 28 of its residents to COVID-19. Fergus McNulty is one of the owners of the care centre. He told Mary Wilson on Drive Time last night that they felt at the outset they were well equipped to cope. Instead, they experienced devastation.
Our plans, I suppose, went into implementation mode early to mid-March, increasingly, and then, you know, obviously they progressed from there. You know, I would have to say, and this is why I think it's really, really important that as we all collectively reflect on this, and we've obviously had a devastating impact, we did everything that was asked of us and everything in line with guidelines as it relates to infection control and so on. And, you know, the team, you know, did an unbelievable job through that process. But clearly, you know, that was not sufficient, and it has had the impact that it's had. So certainly from our perspective, I think, you know, finding ways of understanding what's happened, you know, we have the benefit of a very, you know, modern facility. We have 16 acres here. Our rooms are very spacious. We're predominantly single-roomed. You know, we have staff quarters in different parts of the building. So all, on paper, everything that you would say you would want, you know, in terms of having the infrastructure in place, we have. But clearly all of those things were not sufficient.
Fergus McNulty also spoke about the testing of people who lived and worked at the home.
This is definitely not to apportion blame. I think we've, you know, if I were to look at one of the challenges or failures, systemically, I think the testing process, particularly in the early stages of the COVID crisis, completely failed. And I use those words. So we had residents and staff members who were waiting, you know, perhaps a week for tests, and then, you know, a week to 2 weeks for actual test results. So any staff member who was symptomatic was not at work. Any resident who is, you know, displaying signs of symptoms were put into isolation. We were crying out for blanket testing in early April to give us a better picture in terms of, you know, how to manage and how to control. Unfortunately, that didn't happen until the 20th of April. When we got those results back, you know, a significant number of staff and residents came back positive, but to a person they were all asymptomatic.
Fergus McNulty, one of the owners of Marymount Care Centre in Lucan. Let's speak now to Professor Carina Nocton of UCC. She's a Professor of Clinical Nursing and Older Persons Healthcare, and also to Sean Kennelly, Consultant Physician in Geriatric Medicine at Tallaght University Hospital. Thank you both very much for joining us on the programme this morning. Sean Kennelly, I'll come to you first of all. In individual nursing homes like Fergus's, it's hard to overestimate the effect of losing several residents in homes. In some homes, almost half of the people living there died. The HSE-run Rock Nursing Home in Ballyshannon in County Donegal experienced 10 deaths at a facility that had a maximum occupancy of 22. Padre Pio Nursing Home in Clondalkin had 13 deaths in an occupancy of 31. Is it understood now why that happened?
Good morning, Evan. And there's no way to overstate the very tragic consequences of COVID-19 that's occurred in nursing homes, and how families and indeed the staff in nursing homes are still very much grieving the loss of loved ones. And in a conversation with the director of nursing from one of those nursing homes recently, where, you know, they were talking about the silence that's in the nursing home and the number of vacant beds and how they find the atmosphere even, you know, quite suffocating still. But to come to your question as to why do we know why some nursing homes were disproportionately affected compared to others, I think it's still very unclear, and I suppose this is one of the key issues for that expert review panel that's been established by the minister for them to address. Because I suppose, you know, in the common conversation, and even it was interesting to see where HICWA had mentioned that they had would have had pre-existing concerns about, you know, some nursing homes and the resilience and ability to cope. Certainly, in the experience that I've had with working with nursing homes, that it hasn't always been the nursing homes that you would have expected to run into difficulties that run into difficulties, and indeed some of the nursing homes that I would know to be very, very high performing, that would be very, very good and conscientious about the manner of care that they're able to deliver to the residents. They have some of those nursing homes where nursing homes most affected. And I think we also have to come back to the context of the pandemic, how it spread. The fact that, you know, when it was coming out of China, we thought there was 1-2% asymptomatic spread. It turned out to be that there is 20% asymptomatic spread. So people without symptoms, the atypical nature of symptoms quickly evolved. And we were one of the first countries to identify that only a third of older people were developing fever, whereas that was part of the key criteria for testing. So we weren't testing people who didn't have fever and who didn't have cough at those stages. And then the virulence, we thought, you know, if you got it, you might spread it to one or two people. But it actually turned out if you had it, there was the potential for you to be spreading it to 4 to 5 people. And then when you put that together with the nature of care in nursing homes, which is so close contact,
yes,
you're helping them to walk, you're helping them to feed. It just meant that once it became established in a nursing home, it was often very difficult to get it back under control.
Professor Karina Nocton, HICWA have yet to go into the nursing homes that have experienced high outbreaks of coronavirus to understand exactly what happened there. But in advance of perhaps a return of the virus, one which hasn't gone away yet, and trying to protect remaining residents and those who continue to be transferred from nursing homes from being infected, getting sick, or dying in the coming months, what can be done?
Good morning, Gavin. And first, let me start by expressing my condolences to the families and friends of all those people who have lost their lives during this epidemic. So you hit on exactly what it is that we need to focus on now. We need to shift our energies and our resources to identifying the models of best practice from the high-performing nursing homes. And as Sean said, these are often not the homes that we would have traditionally described as high-performing. But why was it that some nursing homes had no outbreaks or managed outbreaks very, very successfully? What was it that those nursing homes were doing? Why did it work? In what context did it work? We have to understand not just what went wrong in the homes that where they did have much higher outbreaks, but what was happening in the homes where this didn't happen. They're the models of best practice that we need to learn from, and we need to be able to replicate at scale. One of the things that I want to focus on is staffing levels and competency. It is a core pillar in all care, and in particular gerontological nursing, and the expertise of nurses in terms of the unique knowledge base that is older adult nursing. So that's something that I would very much like to see as part of that review. What were the numbers like of nurses in those care homes? What was their skills level? What was their competencies? Did they have that higher level knowledge and skills that you get with higher level postgraduate education and your continuous professional development? That is part of what this inquiry also needs to look at.
Sean Kennelly, you work with a number of nursing homes in the southwest part of Dublin, a part of the country which has been particularly affected by the virus. In many of these homes' case, is it simply impossible to successfully isolate patients, for example, because of the environment that they live in?
So I think there's a lot of factors, and I would agree with much of what Karina has said. I think there has been some factors that, you know, are probably clear. Nursing homes who developed patients with symptoms or who had COVID early on in the pandemic, I think they had far greater challenges in managing it. I think we learned a lot as the pandemic unfolded, and actually more recent outbreaks have been far easier or far, you know, less challenging to manage and get under control. I think the other key factor with regards why some nursing homes were more affected than others was the level of community spread. So if you were a nursing home based in a community where there was high levels of COVID-19, it became very difficult for you to stop staff members acquiring that in the community and coming in and spreading it further. The nature of some of the buildings, I mean, some of the nursing homes at the upper end of those of that list that was published yesterday would be some of the nursing homes outcomes that would have all of those factors that Karina have mentioned with regards to gerontological nursing skill set and a clinical skill set around them, and would be mostly single room nursing homes. And in fact, since 2015, HICWA have been very much reviewing nursing homes on the basis of single room occupancy. So I don't think it's just on that factor, but there are certainly other environmental factors that need to be considered.
Lots more to consider. Sean Kennelly and Professor Karina Nochlin, thank you both very much for speaking to us this morning.